With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hello, my name is Gary Mansfield, and this is the Ministry of Arts podcast, where each week I'll be speaking to a different artist. Now let's begin by bagging these bongos. Hello, and welcome to episode 195 of the Ministry of Arts podcast. Well, we've had quite an exciting week this week. Well, anyone that's been listening for a while will be aware that I am a trustee of a prison arts charity called Kersler Arts. Well, each year they open up applications to anyone within the criminal justice system to enter their annual exhibition, which is held at the Royal Festival Hall on the South Bank. And I should say, this isn't just people in prisons. It's also open to those of us that have found ourselves in secure hospitals, immigration centres, those within the probation service, and a whole lot more. Because everyone deserves a second chance, right? And what better way to start a rehabilitative process than by using art? And that's not just visual art. Because as well as the drawing, sculpting, needlework, photography, matchstick modelling, there's poetry, spoken word, short stories. It's pretty much anything creative. And this year, we've only gone and got Ai Weiwei as the curator. Well, normally, Kersler Arts show about 250 artworks at this exhibition. Well, Ai Weiwei, being Ai Weiwei, has thrown that straight out the window. He didn't want to exclude anyone, and he's put over 1,800 artworks in this exhibition. He's built a dozen or so of these cubes from floor to ceiling to hang all the artworks on. And the void between these cubes is the size of a prison cell. So you are standing in what could be quite a claustrophobic space while you're looking at art. Beautiful, right? For more information, just type in Kersler Arts, that's K-O-E-S-T-L-E-R Arts, in your web browser or social media platform. You will definitely find them. And that is Freedom, curated by Ai Weiwei at the Royal Festival Hall. And that runs until December the 18th. Oh, and I should say, most importantly, if you are able to go, the invigilators and tour guides are people with a lived experience of the criminal justice system. And they will very probably hand you a feedback form. So if you see an artwork that connects with you, you can write down its position and title, as well as your comments about that artwork. And those feedback forms go back to the artist himself. And let me tell you from experience, when you're sat in that prison cell for whatever reason, and you know that there's people outside looking at your artwork with an open mind, without exaggeration, it can be life-changing. I'm the proof of that, right? And if you're not able to get to the exhibition, go over onto social media, look for Kersler Arts, and you can show your support by just giving a follow. Anyway, to this week's guest. Several weeks ago, after many weeks of trying to pin down a date, and with the help of Joe Brooks, I had the pleasure of speaking to Joe Cullen-Kerridge. As well as being a sculptor, Beth is a businesswoman, a business she runs with her husband, which you'll hear more about in this episode. At the end of this conversation, Beth tells us about her latest exhibition, which is called Femella, and that's on at Gallery 8 in Duke Street in London, SW1, and that is from the 8th to the 12th of November. But as I say, Beth tells you more about that at the end of this recording. So, come and join me over Zoom as I spoke to sculptor, businesswoman, and all-round great person, Beth Cullen-Kerridge. Well, I suppose with the materials that you use, tidy isn't part of your everyday life anyway, is it?
No. As long as the tools I'm using for that particular thing are all in are there, I kind of collect them up to start with. And then I don't think about it. And loads of kids, when you're talking with them about how do you do that? How do you come up with that? And I don't know, how do you make that? How do you, and you don't think about it. You just get on. It's like, it's a lovely position to be in. But it's nice.
Well, I've 7 questions that I ask each artist, Beth. And first being, how would you explain what you do to someone that didn't know your work?
At the moment, they're all little stories about where I'm at, I suppose, in my life at the moment. And they are human ladies' bodies. And I have used older tools to help us move forward as women and not, you know, like old hoovers and old irons and bits of things. So they're almost robotic-y, kind of a little bit sinister, but they're all really shiny and beautiful, iconic. I'm really chuffed with this lot, but these are iconic little, let's iconify this lovely woman figure.
Is it a true representation or is it an abstract representation?
I think it's an abstract interpretation of what's real. So what I go through as a woman, and I'm sure lots of other people do, just gently, it's just to kind of inspire conversation and to help move any kind of discussion about gender issues and all of that kind of stuff, to move it all forward so we keep the door open kind of thing.
Nice.
But to celebrate how brilliant we all are.
Yeah, right and all. Right and all.
It's not necessarily just women either, because I've done a couple of commissions from it for guys, which has been really nice, because so they didn't feel like it was just women. I got this lovely guy who saw a twisted lady. I've got a beautiful white marble bust, and then it twists around the middle of the torso, which I'm chuffed with. And he said he was looking at it longingly, and I said, I can do you a man.
Nice.
I'll have that. I'm on. And I gave it to him, and I was so chuffed that he cried. And
oh,
he said,
nice.
I felt like that for, you know, through lockdown and everything. I felt like that twisted man the whole time. So nice. I was really chuffed that it had touched somebody. That's it now. It's worth more than money, that is.
Yeah, I agree.
You know what I mean?
I agree.
Incredible. That is incredible. I cried at Michelangelo's, at the slaves. Oh, I love it. Gets you going, doesn't it?
It's just an object. It's as if there's an energy emitting from it, isn't it?
Is that why we do it, though? I think that might be why I do it.
Yeah.
I used to think I did it just for me, but I think I'm on the turn on that for that. Because that is what, you know, we put all our energy and our heart and soul into our little narratives, and then somebody gets it. My god,
the connection.
That is why I was born. Thank you very much.
But you're saying that you thought you was making it for you, and it turns out you're not. You're making it for us, or it's just being made.
I think I might be,
but that's just like growing as an artist, isn't it?
I used to not really care what people think, and I don't think I really do. I essentially, I think I make it from what my story myself, but I think to touch that one person.
No, I agree.
Is the way ahead. Okay, not everyone's going to like it. You know,
it's all horses for courses, Beth, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. That's all right. I'm happy with that. But to touch that person is, it's a gift. It's a, been given to us. And wow.
I agree.
Lucky. We are lucky.
And why do you think your work has taken that course? Because you have as a person?
I think back in the day when I was, you know, making stuff at college, I think I was working out the aesthetic and working on that and working on my skills. And then I think I worked for Anthony Caro for 8 years and I gave him all my aesthetic and all my sculptures were like rubbish versions of his. But now I think I hadn't got anything to say.
Yeah.
So now, because I have got something to say, even if it is a gentle thing and I'm not going on marches about, you know.
No, but it's coming from the right place, isn't it?
Something that's going on in my life. I've got so many jobs and being a mum and all of that, because I work for our hand and flowers business. And now we've got many others, and I make sure nobody's spending too much money and the balance is there, and you know,
you're juggling the hats that you have to wear.
Exactly. So I now do have something to say, and having AC at 45, which is yes a little bit late, worked far too hard in my life. And I thought, oh, it's easy having kids and all of that. Thank God I only had one. Wow. I mean, he is the light of our life.
Yeah.
An incredible, just an incredible force. And I love it. But how people get anything done is incredible.
Yeah.
So now I appreciate all of those women. So I think maybe I have got on my soapbox a little bit going, you're amazing.
Yeah, but as you say, sometimes you've not got something to say, you're just saying something. Right. But then all of a sudden, when life comes along and you've got something to say.
I mean, there is something to be said for just enjoying the aesthetic bit and just doing it because you can. I love that, and how decadent is that?
Yeah,
but it is nice to have just a little bit of heart in the middle of it as well.
I agree. And as we mentioned earlier, I'm not a very spiritual person, but I very much believe that the energy you put into an artwork does emit to the viewer.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I don't know even know if it's the energy of making or doing the drawing or the planning or what, but I think it's just the gift that you put in. I don't even know which bit, but it's part of the metamorphosis of how it evolves.
Yeah, it's not an ingredient, is it?
That's... Nah, I don't know how to explain it. And I don't. It doesn't matter. We just
not in the slightest. Yeah. Did you have art in the home growing up, Beth?
I did. My mum is an amazing hairdresser. And my dad was a ceramicist and he was a painter. Back in their day when he was taken out of school early to go to art school, he was a draftsman and he's a painter. And they taught you each bit individually back in the day. And so, painting was around me. Sculptures, it's kind of a bit of a way of life, I suppose.
Yeah.
And we go to Carrera and carve together. It's so lovely. What a privilege. It is. And we don't really talk, we just get on with it.
Yeah. And that's the language. Yeah, the language is the doing, isn't it?
Yeah. And I don't have to think about somebody's wages or who was late or, or taking AC to school or all of that business. We go to Carrera and we carve.
And how long did you do that?
We do that. We perhaps do a week or 10 days and we'll hire, you know, get an Airbnb or whatever. And there's a lovely little family and it's called the Corsanini Studios over in Carrera Marina. they've become family friends now. They're just hilarious. They come over for New Year and eat cheese because they like our English cheese.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Bit of Dairy Lee.
They're Montgomery cheddar.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. But wow. You know how they're so like, they will only eat or drink Italian wine or eat Italian food. So when they ate our food, having said that, they were probably being a bit spoiled, obviously. And they couldn't believe just our produce was as good as theirs.
Nice, good.
That's nice. So now I have to send them cheese. They send me olive oil.
Well, the price of olive oil's gone through the roof at the moment. So well, you're going to be in there, aren't you?
I'm not sure it'll get through after Brexit now. Goodness me.
Beth, when was it you realised that you wanted to be an artist?
I tried not to be, actually. and I went to, I think it was sixth form, and I thought, I'll tell you what, I'll use what kind of eye I have and I'll go and do advertising.
Got you.
So I did a printing thing. I went into printing just for A-levels and stuff. And then I thought, do you know what? I quite like it.
Yeah.
I'm all right. I'll go and do it. And then I started painting, which I loved, but I wasn't particularly good. And then my painting started coming out of the wall and my tutor's going, oh, my God, I could have hugged you when you did that. And all that kind of business. And I'd kind of go, okay, and they shove me into sculpture, get my hands on tools and I'm off. Brilliant. That's it. I'm off.
Well, when I was doing my first ever art class, and I don't know if you know my background at all, but my art class was in prison.
Stop it. That is incredible.
So I discovered art in prison, never done it before. But one of the little exercises we had to do, it was, you know, you do the one, or this was what we had to do as well. We had to draw a circle. And it's so hard to draw a circle freehand. He also asked us to put 5 dots on a page with a felt tip pen. And most people done the 5 like a dice, you know. Square with a dot in the middle. Or some done a line, be it vertical or horizontal. And when he's come round to me, he looked down and there's just one dot on the page. And he went, well, where's the other 4? I said, they're all on top of each other. And he went, you, sir, are a sculptor in the making.
Yes, mate. Yes.
And I thought, that's always stuck with me, that is, when he said
I love that.
Yeah, he said it's a very sculptural way of thinking.
I love that. And have you ever made any?
Not in the carving sense.
Do you make stuff with clay and things?
I've gone down the conceptual line.
You've got to come with me. You've got to get them dots in my studio.
Well, have a look at the...
I would love it if you came. It would be so cool.
I'd love to come down there, that's for sure. I've never sculpted with my hands. I've made, like, objects.
Well, that's lovely. That's great as well. I'm just making something with one of our chefs. We've got a bit of a woman collaboration thing going on for, I think they're making a new kitchen and we've got to donate some stuff. And she's going to make a dish with what we've chatted about and whatever. So we made a sculpture and we've got pans, knives and forks.
Brilliant.
I've got ties coming out of pans and they look like they're chatting and it's great.
Well, that's what I love when artists cross over into a different world for a collaboration.
Incredible.
I'd done a thing a few years ago. It was called Face Value. And I would ask one artist to donate an artwork, whatever it may be, to the exhibition. And they'd give it to me blindly, unaware. Like the first artist would be unaware of who I'm giving it to. Yeah. So I'd give it to you, for instance, and say, make whatever you want from this. This is a found object. You can do what you like. So we end up with a collaborative piece. Yeah. But I'm just trying to get that shift of power and responsibility. So now you've got this artwork that someone else has slaved over. You know, what do you do with it? Is it a 50-50? Do you give more of the finished piece to them or do you take over? You know, it was a good little show.
That's interesting.
That was pretty cool.
That is very conceptual though, isn't it?
Yeah, that was
wild. Uber conceptual. I like that though. That's interesting. I remember when we learned to draw at Liverpool, that we had to sit with the model in front of us, and you'd have to leave your drawing on the seat and move to the next seat.
Yeah.
Every like 2 or 5 minutes or whatever it was. Oh my God, and it's horrendous. So don't touch my drawing. It's just... But I brilliant. Love life drawing. I'm not brilliant at it. My sister and my dad go, and they do, and they are awesome. Really good at the craft, but it's something you've got to keep doing.
Of course,
I come
yeah.
out, I'm exhausted. You know, yeah. but it's because it's that bit of your brain you don't use.
No, of course.
Same as wine tasting.
Never done it. I'm not a wine person.
No, and I've had to put a couple of lists together when we very first got the Hand and Flowers. And I'm a bit of a novice then. But to get that bit of that taste memory thing.
Yeah.
Oh my God, exhausted. Appreciate a beer afterwards.
Of course.
I love that, pushing your brain to where you're not used to, especially when wine's involved.
Yeah, because it goes where it wants then, doesn't it, after a few of those?
Yeah, wine and a bit of life drawing is a nice recipe. So, yeah.
Beth, so, which piece that you've created has got the strongest emotional connection?
Probably the one I've just done. It's always the last one. I think
so many people say that.
You know what I mean? And
that's where the energy is.
Yeah, I've just done that one and it's still it's still working, or the one I'm nearly finished. And then, when you put that last bit of polish on, or you see it on the plinth or wherever you're putting it, and you go, yes, there, that one. I think that one. And it's called Slope at the moment. And it's like a body that's bent, contorted and bent over backwards, and it's like a little ski jump. That's got me off.
And what's your preferred material to work in?
I love bronze and I love marbles. Grey marble's my favourite. I don't know, can't choose. I like the finished product of marble and the last day.
It's the first day, don't it?
First day is, I feel a bit sick.
Yeah.
Because it's so hard. And then you get into it, you don't think about it, and have some kind of hitting music on.
Yeah.
You know, that's something that's a bit chanty. And then by the last day, and then it appears, I love that day.
Nice.
Because then it's like, it's nearly... It's emerging out of the stone.
Yeah.
And I love when I'm making the beginning of a bronze. I don't really like casting it because it's such a long process.
Yeah.
You know, you make your wax, you're going to put on this plumbing system with tubes and whatnot, sticking all your grog on it. Oh, God. Or your shell, whatever. That drives me mad because I want to see it now.
Yeah. I'd done it once and I thought it was quite amazing, but I can understand why people don't, and the value in the finished piece.
Yeah, because like a car, innit? The parts are like fairly cheaply chipped, but to put it in the middle of that big engine is like...
Yeah.
So it's boring now.
Well, when I was at uni...
I don't know how it works because I can make things and pass them on to my mate, James Stoney. And... keep him, he loves it, he's great. He used to work with me at Carrow's.
Nice.
And he said, "Beth, I'm going to move to the country. Will you support my family?" Absolutely.
Okay, then.
I will be there. So,
brilliant.
And that's like, I think he's, that must be like over 10 years ago, which is nice. So,
yeah.
We're privileged to know him, he's a great guy.
And do you get your marble pieces cast? At all, or
sometimes I have, I did a big it was called Boardroom Sacrifice. It's like a big crucifix suit,
I see that one.
But I did one in grey marble, size and a half big, so it was quite big, And I cast that because I wanted to be able to take it in a gallery. You can lift it, a two-man lift, and I wanted a big piece.
Yeah.
In a small gallery, which you can do with that one. And that is a weird thing to do, but I do. It's another way of doing stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just that sometimes it's nice to have an addition of a finished piece, even in a much smaller scale.
Yeah, definitely. I've started to do that. All this show, it's called Formella, that I'm doing in, we've got the Saatchi at the beginning of October, and then I've got my own show in November. I think it'll start on the 7th, 8th, 9th, around there.
Where's
I'll send you an invite for it. I'd love to see you down there. It'd be great. What was it?
Whereabouts is it?
Just behind Fortnum's. It's Duke Street, number 8, Gallery 8, Duke Street. Just me, little beautiful gallery. And I'm looking forward to getting it out there. And I've auditioned them. This is the first time I've actually auditioned.
Oh, there you go. Nice.
Because I just thought, I really love them.
Yeah.
And somebody might not like him, but if somebody wants that one and then he wants that one, then they can have it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's normally one that everybody likes more than the others.
Yeah.
So I thought, I'm going to audition it this time. We'll see how that goes. It'd be interesting.
And what was the name of that that's coming up in Duke Street?
It's called Femella. It means female. And it's just celebrating women despite the humdrum, boring bits of life.
Yeah, of course. Of course. And what size editions are they coming out in?
I've got some tens, and I'm doing some pretty little concrete ones.
Nice.
And I'm going to do 20 of those.
Nice.
Because I thought, and I've made them just slightly, I've tried to make them as cheap as possible so that you can take them. Do you know what I mean? That you can take it now. Done.
I'm so pleased that you said about working in concrete. I personally think there should be so much more in that medium.
I love concrete. My kitchen surface is concrete.
Oh, nice.
I love it. And the guys, it's a little place in Kent called Broadmead Stone, and they do bridges.
Brilliant.
They do but they don't mind me going in. There's me and another couple of guys that might use it. I've passed their details on because they're so nice. They make a little mould of what you've done.
Yeah.
And then he'll cast me 10 or
Brilliant.
20 or whatever.
So well, I've found that those industrious companies, they love bringing in an artist because it's something else for them, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's quite incredible. I've got my lovely little agent, Westy. He, one of his artists, he got the actual model that he uses in his paintings
nice.
And prints, and they scanned her. And then they got it 3D printed and then took it to the concrete guy. So they've got this like incredible,
Amazing.
It's very lifelike.
Good.
Exactly her. It's incredible. But these guys, they know what they're doing. Like you say, industrial stuff.
Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot.
And I think if we ever needed a big one, we could do it. They'd be able to do it. And you can have all different colours.
Yeah, amazing.
Oh, these ones are chipping. Can we just check? Can we add a bit more stuff?
Nice.
To make it stronger. And they're great. It's nice.
Yeah,
it's nice to find people to work with.
Yeah, I think there should be more of it. That's for sure.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Beth, if you were curating a show and it was you and five other artists, past or present, what would your ideal group show be?
Oh, that is a corker question. Five and me. Oh. Gotta be Brancusi. It's gotta be Michelangelo. Cellini. Oh, I've got two more, haven't I?
Yes.
I'd like to meet Van Gogh. Can they come as well? I'd like.
Hey,
to...
he'd be all right, wouldn't he?
Maybe a bit. And you know, Rodin's wife.
Nice.
Because
okay.
I think her sculptures are better than his.
I don't know them.
Well, we went to see the road, go to the museum in Paris, and there's a room upstairs with all her stuff in, and they're all a little bit smaller and stuff. But I just thought she was epic.
Oh,
and
brilliant.
I think she was called Camille, I can't remember her name, but I just remember the pieces and thinking how, or was it women in society that meant that she wasn't?
Yeah.
Big doing the kiss and all of that.
Of course. Yeah, it was a different yeah. world, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I thought, you know what? You are great. You made some stuff.
Yeah.
Incredible. Incredible. Picasso. I mean, Andy Warhol, not sure. I don't know.
Warhol comes up the most.
Does he?
Yeah.
But just because he's a character, though, I think.
Possibly.
One of my favourites was Hockney. Well, you know, when we were all asked at college who we wanted to come to speak, everybody said Hockney. The sculpture school asked for a painter.
And did he come?
He did, he came.
Wow.
Sat in the hall, smoking his fags and telling, I don't like photography, no, because I see this.
Excellent.
I don't see this.
Yeah.
I see this. Incredible. And what a character.
Yeah, I'd like to have got him on here.
Yes. Oh.
I've tried.
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh, he's lovely. But,
yeah, it didn't work, didn't get a reply.
They'll
but
probably protect him, won't
of
they?
Of course, yeah, it's worth a chance.
Charlie
though,
Anne and
it?
Judah. I think they still represent him. Or they did. I don't know if they still do. I suppose I'd like to show with Caro as well. Oh, I've got a ream. Irene, oh, it'd be a privilege to anyone of those of that calibre. I don't know, they're all awesome. I just love it. We're very lucky to be in.
And how would you be with those all around you?
I would probably feel very small.
Of course.
But it would be lovely to even breathe the same air.
Yeah.
I think. And just hear how they are. I mean, it was lovely working for Caro because you kind of learnt not necessarily your craft with your hands, but how to be in the world of art and stuff. And we'd all sit at 11 o'clock. I'd make the tea because I want my tea. 11 o'clock. And then we'd just talk. And then we'd do it again at 3 o'clock. And it was just a lovely time to be with other artists that were makers the same as you. Because at Royal College and that, there's all these kind of very different, everyone's all very different. And, you know, you've got somebody making sculpture out of tripe and rotten potatoes.
Yeah.
And then you've got somebody banging tin, or you've got, I don't know, doing classic stuff, blowing glass, all sorts of bits of stuff going around. But it was quite a privilege to be with people who were doing exactly what you do.
Yeah.
And we're all helping each other and living life. And it was a privileged time to be with him. It was great.
Did it help you coming from a household with art in it to have that confidence to that conversation?
Yeah, I think it did because I don't feel like you have to justify why we're here, why we do what we do, because I think that's a big question that at the beginning of anybody's arty career, why am I doing it, you know?
Yeah.
Well, just because you can and just because we are what we are.
As I say, I come into art very late in life. I was like...
Are you reborn?
I'll call myself a born-again artist.
Yes.
So I come in at 28.
That's good though, because then, you've got stuff to say.
But because I've got a Cockney accent, come from a council estate and, you know, about as working class as a bag of chips, or one of them chips has always been on my shoulder, you know.
Use the chip.
No, I embrace it nowadays.
I love that chip. I'm from Stoke-on-Trent.
Don't you know?
People don't even know where that is. Stoke-on-Trent is not Liverpool. It's not Manchester.
Yeah.
We're not even Birmingham. We're like in the middle. But we have got a little working ethic of like, and team spirit with a big smile, Ira. Yeah. So it's a privilege to come from there. But I know what you mean. But I think my dad had broken down those barriers.
Yeah, nice.
And I think it was just, that's what people do that, and it's okay.
Yeah.
And he's a Stokey, you know. Well, he's actually probably half a Scouser as well. So, and they embrace the arts, don't they, with music and creativity and what a privilege. Definitely. And Mum said to me as a young kid, you know, I married a lifestyle that I love.
Yeah, nice.
And that's nice.
Yeah.
But there's no, it wasn't hippie or like, you know, walking around barefooted and all of that. Yeah. It was a bit more like what you said about, you know, a bit more gnarly and a bit more, you know, working hard. I mean, I used to go and pack pots at the weekend to go to a club on Sunday night. Yeah. That was how I paid to go out. And being around like all the old the pot bank ladies. All right, lamb, you know, put kettle on, you know. And that was a privilege as well. So it was not normal, but it was completely acceptable.
Yeah. It wasn't out of the ordinary.
No. And then, you know, you'd meet bonkers people.
Yeah, it's great. Like, I love that.
Yeah. And then they'd come and stay and we'd be talking in the night. And I'd, you know, I'd be listening to, like, I think Pat Phoenix from Cora at the end. And she'd like, they'd be arguing into the night about whether the dad should paint this guy with a stick or not. Because, it's just stupid stuff like that. But it's, you're allowed to argue about whether there should be a stick in the picture or whatever. And she says to me, do you like blokes? And I went, yeah, I must have been like 8. Well, don't bloody take any notice of them. You know, get on with what you want to do, you know.
Good old stuff.
I love all that. So yeah, it did help my life. I'm sure. Thanks, Dad. Thanks, Mum. Love her.
And if you wasn't an artist, Beth, what do you think you'd like to do?
I would probably build houses.
Nice. You've done a bit of that, haven't you?
I do it for the hand. I do the rooms with my sister for the hand and flowers. So we have like 15 rooms and we kind of do them up all quirky. I've always done up houses to buy the hand and flowers.
That was a big old move, a move in your life, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, we lived in Norfolk, and you've either got Tom couldn't get a head chef job in London at the time.
And sorry, for anyone that may not be aware,
my hubby's Tom Kerridge.
Yep.
And I gave him 3 years of my life when we first started the Hand and Flowers. So I got a commission up north. I basically it bought the Hand and Flowers.
Yeah.
And I gave him 3 years. I was probably there more like 8, to be fair. But I still made in the background in a shed at the back and all of that.
Of course.
But we'd either got no money and loads of time or loads of time and no money. So I said, you got to do it for yourself, babe. You've got to do it. So, yeah, we're very lucky. And now he supports me. And
when you see chefs on the TV, we just see the end product of years and years of slog. We think it's like the guy singing on stage, that they've always been there. Yeah, you don't realise that you've had to sort of open the fridge and there ain't a bottle of milk in there.
Yeah, absolutely. That was us. That was me.
Yeah.
I was there at front of house. So all I wanted was for him to cook. I wanted him to excel, because I can't make work unless my sock drawer is tidy. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Where the bills are all paid and I can just think clearly in the studio. So, and he was one of my sock drawers, I think, that I needed him to be on his path. So I thought, right, you've got to do it for yourself and not moan to me about whether he's let you buy some more pans or not. Do it yourself.
Yeah.
Can't do it myself. Well, yes, you can. Come on, love, let's go and do it. So we did, and 10 months later, he got his Michelin star, and that, so now my socks are in the drawer. Now I can go and make some sculpture. Yeah. And that first couple of years was the inspiration for one of my exhibitions called the Empty Suit Series, about people who were a bit rubbish at their job, accountants and salesmen and all sorts of people who go, no, computer says no, love, yeah, and all that. I've got a piece called Computer Says No. And empty suits who think they're great.
Yeah.
So that was nice to have something to say about what was happening to us, which was nice. So,
well, that series was the collars and ties and the shirts. And
lots and of empty
colours. I love it. I absolutely love when a sculptor works in a rock-hard material making something that's cotton soft. I absolutely love that play on the eye.
Yeah, it was difficult to get that technique, actually. It took me a lot of wax and a lot of mistakes and stuff, but I think I got the technique in the end. It looks pretty real. But I enjoyed that series. It feels like a lifetime ago, and it's not that long, but it feels like it. So this is quite a different turn, because all those are all quite raw.
Yeah.
Those pieces are, I didn't patinate a lot. I left the bronze and I'd just leave it a bit scratchy. I wanted it to feel raw and industrial and where I come from and all of that. And I didn't want to, I feel like you're painting it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So with these pieces, the new ones, the Femella show, I wanted to polish them.
Nice.
And I wanted to make them shine.
Yeah.
Like the trophy. And even a couple of them I've actually treated like car parts, where I've had them chromed. And nice. I took them to this bizarre character, not too far, in that bizarre. And they work in this guy works in like a little bunker that at the back of this grand house. It's very strange. And all these like old ancient cars and all these people make parts for like ancient cars.
Brilliant.
And this guy comes out and he's like something out of Jim Lane or something.
Yeah.
He's like a Hogarth face.
Yeah.
And he's dirty and he's this and he can barely talk to me. And he's like, yes, I polish. Off you go. There you go. And it comes back like this beautiful fender of a car. And I'm like, wow, you know, it's...
Beth, ain't that better than taking it into a shiny corporate building and giving it to someone in a white jacket, eh?
Yeah, I was a bit scared, but it was great. It was great. You know, everyone's got a bandana on, you know.
Excellent.
And stinky Harleys and all of that. It was incredible, incredible. I love those kind of moments. And like you say about those real working places.
Yeah.
Carrera, I love. Big lumps of marble coming in on a massive low loader. And that was one when I cried. It's hilarious. The Italians are going, you are having an emotion. I'm having a big emotion. It's like 10 ton. I think it was 10 or 15 tons of marble coming in on a low loader. And I'm going, how can I make that more beautiful than it already is?
Yeah.
I mean, it was just breathtaking. And then, because that was that piece to go over to Dubai.
That's what I thought you was going to say.
Yeah, for the opera house in Dubai.
The Darussal.
Darussal, yeah. And everything that they commissioned was to do with the sea. So nice. They've got like beautiful glass chandeliers and stuff. And fountains all the way up the front. And so I thought, I've got to give them a boat for their river up.
Of course.
For the thing. So they've had a very heavy boat.
It looked it was quite a size as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's a 5-meter high sail boat, but you can sit on it and you can climb on it and love it, and it's really nice. It was a privilege to make that piece, and the Italians all came out with me to place it and that, and it was quite a moment. It was quite lovely.
Nice. You made it very, I don't even know how to explain, it was very simple and sleek in its design.
Yeah.
It didn't look heavy, did it?
No, and when you see it in real life, it was quite, it's quite lovely to make something, because I carved that small to get the actual commission, and to actually look at it, make it small and still enjoy its perspective when it's big. Because I'm always thinking, that's got to be there, that line will be there. What? How's it going to make me walk around it? And so it's almost a spiral, the construction of that. So it makes you look around, because it looks totally different from two, three different
parts. Right, well, that's what I was dying to say. I was waiting for you to, so I could interject there, because from the left, or the port, if you like, it looks like it's blowing into the wind and it's got loads of power. But you go around to the other side and it looks quite delicate and sleek and as if it's just floating.
And I love that. And that was quite a lovely, it was lovely to take that into consideration on such a big scale. That's the biggest marble I've ever done.
Brilliant.
And the privilege to make that piece. Privilege. I hope somebody will commission something that big soon. Although I'm not sure I'll want to hit the stone again, because it was and it came in. Just leave the marble in the garden. That's it.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was a lovely thing to do.
And I've asked this to a couple of sculptors. What's your idea on the machine that makes a sculpture? I can't think what the name of it is.
Of the robots. I'm up for it. Bring it on.
Yeah.
Bring it on. I think, and the older I get, the more I'll embrace any technology that takes the thing out of it, believe me.
Yeah.
It's like, hang on a minute. That I when we did the five-metre marble, they use machines like cut old, it's like a diamond cheese cutter.
Oh, yeah.
And they kind of, it sprung, and they put, I didn't place the cutter. I didn't cut those massive cuts.
And I don't think that matters.
No, exactly. Why does it matter using other technology?
I agree.
It's the same thing.
Yeah, it wasn't a trick question. It was just...
But it's the thing that goes through your mind. The integrity of a piece is the thing that goes through your mind when you're making or using new technology.
Yeah.
But you think back to Michelangelo, he didn't carve those on his own. Definitely not. And he didn't paint the Sistine Chapel alone either. You know, you can't paint that quick, because a friend of mine, Gav, that I was at Royal College with, actually did fresco as one of his final pieces. And the speed you have to paint at to get those images is incredible.
Yeah.
So there is no way that he painted that on his own. There's no way.
Yeah, I spoke to a sculptor a couple of weeks ago, and he said, well, for years, artists have used, sculptors have used angle grinders and like Kangos to...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's just the next stage.
I've got an air chisel.
Yeah.
It's called, I call it the slippery pig. A mind of its own. And I won't go up a size because it's too slippery. But, the artisans use all of those tools for years and years and years.
Well, funnily enough, I was speaking to a guy maybe 5 years ago now, and he was slagging off Damien Hirst because Damien Hirst didn't do the spot paintings, right? This is what art is now, and people don't do it themselves. But he had just been telling me that he had been to a Gordon Ramsay restaurant. And I said, how many has he got restaurants? And he, I don't know, maybe he said seven. And I went, do you think he was in every one of those restaurants?
At that day, at that time.
Yeah,
definitely.
Exactly. Either way, it's exactly the same.
I often get asked that question, does Tom Cook still in the restaurants? And he actually does.
Yeah.
But not all the restaurants at all of the time.
Of course not. No, of course not.
He'll do Manchester 1 week, London. He'll do Manchester one day, London the next, Marlow the next. So he could be anywhere. people go, where's Tom? I don't know where Tom is.
Yeah, he's so he's literally got his fingers in many pies.
Many kitchens. It's a good job he's got magical kitchen powers, because I don't know how he does that hat change. Because they're all different names. You think how many people are in there. But yeah, now our my favourite tool is that angle grinder.
Yeah.
I think. I love tools. The Italians don't like the angle grinders because they say that the tiny shocks go into the marble. Yeah,
I can see that.
And it depending on what they're making, they won't use those sometimes. They even use a hand stone. There's a, I can't remember his name, this lovely Japanese guy that works there. He does these enormous epics, smooth. They're always smooth. And he's like Mr. Miyagi, smoothing with his stone. Just smoothing. I mean, oh my God. I'm like, get that buff out. I haven't got time. I'm only here for 10 days. You know, I've got other stuff to do. I wish I could do that, but I don't think it would be possible.
Good luck to you, sir, but I'm going home soon.
He's much more successful than me, but, you know.
Either way.
There you go. I do have many, many hats, unfortunately, for that. But, you know, tools, yay.
Good. And good on you. If you could just mention again the two shows you've got coming up.
Two shows I've got coming up is one at the Saatchi Start exhibition. And my own show is Famella, and that is at Gallery 8 in Mayfair.
Excellent.
On Duke Street.
And a good street to show on.
Yeah. And that's on from the 8th of November.
And finally, Beth, where can anyone find what you do, be it social media or website?
It's bethcullensculpture.co.uk.
Perfect. Well, Beth, I think that's all my questions asked.
You are amazing. Come and make some dot sculpture.
I'd love to. I'd absolutely love to.
I would love to have you in the studio. Let's make some stuff.
I'd absolutely love that. I really would.
Bring some of your made stuff and we'll weld them up and we'll make something exciting.
Right. I'm going to let you get back on with your day. Thank you very much for your time,
Thank
Beth.
You
I've absolutely loved it. Duke Street, I'll look forward to bumping into you there.
That would be lovely. I'll send you an invite across.
Please
Thanks
do.
Thanks so much for having me on. It's
All
been really
best,
lovely.
Beth.
Have a great day.
And you. See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, hope you enjoyed that episode of the Ministry of Arts podcast. So we wasn't dictated to by advertisers, we decided from the offset to go ad-free, which means, obviously, we had to self-fund. So we set up the Ministry of Arts Patreon page. And without that support, we would not be able to produce this podcast. So if you like what you hear and you're able to support the podcast, just go over to the Ministry of Arts Instagram profile. You'll find a Linktree drop-down box, which will direct you straight to our Patreon page. And for the price of a cup of coffee, you can help keep us growing week by week. But if you're not able to do that, that's fine, because this content is free for everyone. But leaving a review on whichever platform you listen to your podcast, that really does help us get noticed and anyone else looking for an art podcast. Or even giving us a positive shout out on your social media. Everything is appreciated. But either way, thanks for listening. And until next week, ta-da.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.